Ready? All right. Good afternoon. This is Julie Fedorchek with the North Dakota Public Service Commission. We're gathered on the 12th floor of the State Capitol for a work session. It is Tuesday, May 17th, and it's about 10 after 3, and this is on case number PU-16-14. This is Otter Tail Power Company's 2016 Renewable Resource Cost Recovery Factor. We had a formal hearing on this on April 27th. It had a very lively, long discussion in depth. Learned a lot about some of these accounting procedures and how the company is working to kind of maximize some of its tax benefits of the extra depreciation allowed. And so I don't have any opening comments other than to say that I don't have any questions or concerns. All my concerns were answered in the hearing, and I'm supportive of this. In particular, I appreciate the company and our advocacy staff coming back and making some adjustments to the company's return on equity and on their jurisdictional factor, reducing that so that that saves North Dakota customers another almost $450,000 annually. So I appreciated that effort and don't have any other questions to add, but I look forward to a conversation with my colleagues. But, Randy, do you have any things you want to say on the front end before we turn it over to...
No, I have a couple points, but I think I'll just let Brian go ahead.
Okay.
But generally, good hearing. Most of my questions are pretty well answered. I guess my concerns, I don't really have objections to this case, but I think once this case is behind us, because I think it should be a separate decision, we should look at some of the things that I think it was Brian, as I recall, brought it up with combining their next decrease that they're going to have, and whether they should keep coming separately or whether there's good reason to merge some of these different moves that the companies make. But I don't think that decision should be made in the middle of one case, because everything can look so logical at one point, but then for all the companies and all the procedures year after year, it might look differently.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Portfolio holder.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you, Randy, for your comments. I didn't think an informal would have done justice to the issues that we busted out in the formal hearing. So I'm really glad that we did a formal hearing, and I appreciate both your support on that, because, you know, quite honestly, we maybe could have done some of this in informal, but I think the formal hearing really brings out the company. Formal testimony lets us get more questions and I think a better review of every one of the facts. So I'm glad we did the formal hearing. One of the things I also wanted to flush out in the formal hearing was that, you know, more in-depth reason as to why in all their filings, because one of the things that I was surprised about was Otter Tail, their last rate case, they had a large industrial group that intervened for a rate increase that was less than this, and it was quite a robust, heated hearing. And so I am surprised that Otter Tail's customers that are tracked these things have seen the notices on the cost increase and did not intervene. So one of these things that could happen is I am supportive of this the way it is. I think we'll sort it out. So let's just say it's approved. I think one of the things you might see is that if it's approved and goes into effect, you're going to see people that didn't realize quite what was going on because it wasn't advertised as a rate case. And I think that going forward, I do like the idea of these riders to a point, but it gets to be so much of these businesses done about what the cost of doing business on these riders. It's a much larger discussion about, we've got your renewable rider, your environmental rider, your transmission rider, that we no longer do rate cases anymore. And I don't know what's the best way to do this going forward. So your point, Randy, about a separate discussion, that I just think that that's warranted at some point in time, because I really like the idea of when we first started with these riders, that I was part of it too. I think that it was a good way to true things up once a year without having to go through the formal rate cases and all those things, because you could flush it out. But there gets to be a point where you have so many riders that I don't know that the customer really understands what they're paying for at certain times. So that's my soapbox issue. But I thought that the hearing really flushed all that out. It talked about the differences in the periods affected by the different riders. The issues, that the questions that I had, I believe the company answered all of them, quite honestly. When I reviewed my notes before this, I did have some questions about the best way to roll this out, if you will. And Randy, I think you said it in the hearing, and this is one of the things that I would like to talk about, is that I'm supportive of this. We've had the filing already on the additional rider, which their filing talks about a decrease in cost. So I would like to perhaps entertain the idea of, when we do these, that we look at the other pending case in front of us, and if there's a way possible to almost roll these decisions out at the same time, so as not to have one decision say, I'm not prejudging the other case, but I think there's a way that we can minimize some of the effects of a rate increase, rate decrease, with how we deal with this. So that's one thing I'd be open to talk about. But as far as the other issues, I mean, I think the hearing asked everything. They justified their dollars, the ROE, our staff was able to tweak that down a little bit. So I guess I don't really have any other thoughts to go through on that. I would just say for the order itself, we could go through that, but I like the tweaks that you made. I always like to see in the order where the actual impact of the average ratepayer, and I didn't see that unless I missed that in either one of these. So that's one thing I would like to add in there. We talk about all these percentages, but I didn't see the average customer increase will be. Mm-hmm. I didn't see that in here.
Point.
So I always like to see that. And mm-hmm. That, to me, is the big takeaway that most people look at. So short of that, I guess, would there be an opposition to trying to get this tweaked a little bit? And then as the notice period stops in the other hearing, we could have an informal on that. And if there's a way to merge these two, I understand there might be a little bit of challenges to this one. We may have to true up next time, but I think it might be better policy to put those decisions at the same time if we possibly could.
You don't mean merge them into
no,
one rider? Just
I don't. At one time,
have it come out at the same time.
Yes. At one time, I thought merging them into the single rider would have been the right choice, and maybe going forward, maybe it is. But in this case, no. I was convinced by your good questioning, Madam Chair, as well as Randy's points, that merging these two now really probably wouldn't be the right thing to do. But I do think it's the right decision to roll these out at the same time, because the average customer is going to see these and just wonder what in the heck the PSC is doing.
What is the timing of the other? Or do we have one other rider or two? Or is the transmission?
I looked at the other one. The comment period closes June 21st for request for a hearing. So we could have an informal any time on that.
And is that the
that would be the
environmental?
Yes.
That's a cost decrease?
Yeah, and the transmission one's already done.
Oh, we already did that one.
Yeah, and that one was done before we had this tax thing come up.
Okay.
And so we'll see that in their next rider.
So just from my memory, can you tell me what's the annual schedule for transmission for the renewable and the environmental? Like, when do they come due typically?
The transmission one had been coming at the end of the year.
Okay, so right. We approve and it in like January, February time frame?
I think we actually approved it in December.
Oh, sure, yep.
Right?
Yep.
And the other environmental rider.
I have down July to June for the environmental rider and April to March for the renewable rider.
Okay.
So that's why the renewable rider is in front of us first.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
So if we would hold on this for a small period of time to let the discussion flow on the environmental rider, there would be about a month or so that we'd know would be a carryover into the next year for the renewable. But I think that that's appropriate given the fact that it lays out a better story to the public what's going on.
So then how does that work? I think we said here June 1st, so if we waited till July 1st to implement this, then they keep under the same rate through July?
The
and
way
then
this,
there's a longer true-up or what?
The way this is set up with the dates in here for you now, in yellow there's a June 22nd date for the issuing the order.
For what?
For I got June 22nd in here for the date that the order would be issued. The one I just sanded around to you.
What I talked to Jerry about, and let me just throw it out there, is that I thought that the path forward might be that the comment period for the other case for someone requesting a formal hearing expires just prior to the June 21st meeting. So if we're okay with this particular order, what we could look at is scheduling this June 22nd for a vote, and we could have a informal scheduled sometime before that on the case for the environmental rider. If there's no one requests a formal hearing, we could have the informal done prior to the comment period closing, and then we could have a decision ready to go. And so potentially June 22nd, we could vote on both cases, as long as if someone requests a formal hearing for the that's fine.
And but then they become implemented when, though? And
immediately,
how does that
July 1st.
July 1, both
July
of
1
them.
For both of them.
And then so the company continues on their current rate until July 1? For
no,
this?
No. Well, assuming that they go back to their regular cycle because we're late on this one.
Right.
I think that was like April.
No, but when do... Okay, so the rates...
Or May 1 or something like that.
They keep the same rates.
Yeah, this rate would stay until next year when the balancing account tracker was normally up. I'm assuming they'll do it that way. And so... we would have a filing again next spring to give the 2017 factors.
I feel like Julie's asking about what happens this year and you're answering about what happens next year.
Right.
Well, that's right, though, but Julie's asking what happens this year, and this year there'll be a carryover balance that we know is not trued up that we know will be addition for next year.
Yeah, I mean,
so next year, if it's 100... If next year's would have been $100, it'll be $110 out of the chute because there's an extra $10 from this year that didn't get rectified in this filing that's got to get carried over because they already know they're short. And so that shortage is not being made up those additional months. So what you do is you carry over a balance to next year.
So like whatever from April, May, June,
I don't think I
which is the months that they would normally be charging their new rate.
And we already have that
so
because
the cost difference would be carried over. And maybe not, maybe...
That's what I thought.
I mean, maybe it isn't.
Maybe it isn't. But their period in March, because of the fact that we went to a hearing, we already have April and half of May in the books.
Right.
So by doing this, you'd have the other half of May and June in the books. So you'd have a 3-month difference that you're not truing up this year. But we don't know exactly what next year is going to be. The worst case, A scenario, is the 3 months they're negative here just compiles to next year. But if they true this up correctly, then it would work itself out.
We have the increase here right now. We're looking at really whether you would try to approve it for June 1 or July 1 for implementation.
That's the real decision point.
That's different. And I was looking at numbers a little bit, and it looks to me like it makes a difference of about 300 and some thousand. And 1 month's worth of revenue that they won't collect now, but it'll go in the balancing account holding that month.
Okay. I don't have any strong objections to that, but I did think the company made some valid points about the benefits of having these staggered and not all. I mean, I get it from a customer standpoint. It's nice to have them at the same time, but from a company management of staff time, having them all come do at the same time would be a problem for them. So this would just be a one-time effort to put them together, or is this something we want to do permanently?
No, I think for this, from my viewpoint, from this point would be this is how to work ourselves through this scenario. We continue to look at what is the role of riders for transmission, for environmental, and we continue to do that each particular case. But I think what really caused this case is a federal extension of the tax credit in December that nobody was really sure was going to happen, not going to happen. And this may be an anomaly that we get through this year and we go back to normal schedule. But I would encourage us to keep looking at the value of riders.
Well, it really, yeah. I mean, whether or not there's bonus depreciation and an increase or decrease, the fact remains that having them staggered does make three different adjustments to bills for customers that can be confusing.
Right.
As long as we continue to do that. So,
but mostly those adjustments, though, have not been this opposite. Yeah, I mean, there'll be normally a 40-cent increase, a 12-cent decrease or something, or they're maybe all generally trending up. There's never been one that's this far apart where one you increase by a couple bucks, the other one, according to their filing, is a decrease because it's a significant difference of what these two riders do, where normally they tend to trend to be the same way.
I don't think we really even need to commit to whether this is going to be a new way of doing things or just an anomaly. We can do it this time and see how it works
right.
out. Maybe after doing it, everybody will agree that we absolutely don't want to merge them, and maybe everyone will see that that was a much better way of doing it. So,
and then
do it once here in this odd case and see once how it works out.
If you recall, they're already merged on the bill.
No, I didn't recall that. 'Cause
the bill has an adjustment factor that's the sum of these things.
So but they're, the environmental, at least, is separate. I mean, what do you mean they're merged on the bill?
I'd have to go get
it. There's one category with three subheads?
I'd have to go get it and look at it again, but it ends up being one adder onto their bill that's the sum of all three of these.
Sum of all three, but they're listed separately.
I have it on my desk if you want me to go grab it.
Sure, that would be good to know. I mean, we did go through some extensive discussion last time about the name of the environmental rider and how that was going to be spelled out on the bill. So just to that point, the environmental rider is the one rider that I think has extra value in maintaining and keeping separate because it's the one place where you can consolidate the costs of some of these environmental improvements that
are... Well, that's why we set it up that way, following the Big Stone challenges.
Right, and I like that. I think that's a valid piece of information for customers to be able to have. And so if you get rid of riders or if you merged...
Right.
I wouldn't want to merge the renewable and the environmental together. I think there might be some value to considering the renewable and the fuel clause rider, and I thought Mike Diller made a good point about that and why that might make some logistic sense, because that's where customers are seeing the difference in costs from wind, because it reduces the fuel. So that made some sense to me. So...
Well, I think I'm hearing that we're all in agreement that Jerry's order looks pretty good. If we just add in, I'd like to add in the cost to the average customer.
I like that, too.
Yep.
And then we can sort through the other discussion, and unless there's some major objection, look for a vote on both of them June 22nd.
Sounds good. Thanks, Jerry.
But so we'll need to schedule...
How to read your bill?
Something on that other one, so that we're prepared for it if no requests for a hearing come up.
Correct. Or in some cases, when companies file it, if we review it, and just like some cases we need work sessions, some we don't have to have it. Maybe we don't even need one, because I think we've all three probably reviewed that other case as it relates to this one, so we may not even need to have it.
Mm-hmm.
Am I saying that correctly, Alana?
Yes.
Because actually, Jerry and I are already working on a draft order for the other one, subject to if someone requests a formal order.
Approve that one by motion.
Well, yes.
If we
get an order prepared and everybody looks at it and they're okay with it, I mean.
Yeah, I'm saying there wouldn't be an order.
Oh, I see what you mean. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Different energy and renewable adjustment, which includes five components.
So you see up there in the green box, as it's explained?
Yep.
And then it's just the one line item.
So it says cost for compliance with federal EPA rules. That's the environmental rider, energy and renewable adjustment. That includes these four things, transmission.
Yeah.
What in the world is the economic development rider?
Those should have been phased out.
I thought they were.
Because this bill, with the economic development rider, that rate case that we had, there was a rider that they would give X amount of dollars to each company, each different communities, just because, like the skating rink or whatever, and we took that out in that rate case. So, I mean, it was interesting because Otter Tail had given out grants out of ratepayer dollars to different communities around North Dakota, and it was like $50,000, $60,000 a year. So that rate case, I don't remember which one of us brought it up. We all three thought at the same time. We said, no way, we're done with that.
Jerry, is this a current bill?
They had it at the hearing.
Boy, I'd sure like to know why number three is still listed if they're not.
Some states may still allow them to do that, but we sure don't. And if they are doing it...
It's interesting, the date down in the bill has a November of 2015 date, but up in there it talks about January of 2011. So,
I think that they took it out that way at a quarter, like 2.5 cents per kilowatt hour. I'm sorry, 0.025 cents per kilowatt hour reduction to...
Because we told them to take it out.
Yeah.
I don't know why. I mean, when you don't have rate cases very often, then you have to do these things this way.
But yes. That was in a rate case.
2011.
No? 2008 or 9 was the last rate case.
We removed it in the 2009-10 rate case, the economic development. There was a phase-out that we put in there. We didn't whack it all the first year, but we phased it out.
Oh, yeah, so that makes sense that they got it. Until there's a rate case, it's
part of a base rate.
Okay, so I don't understand then what the since 2011 the reduction is, but we can
I wonder what
ask
the trigger that was in 2011. Yeah. So
we agreed to them to carry it on 1 year is what I recall, and then it was supposed to all be gone. So we didn't want the communities that they were getting $1,000 for their skating rink that the next year was all gone. It was okay, give them the awareness, they could finish out that cycle, and then it was gone. But Jerry, we should find that out for sure. That's separate to this, but it brings out an interesting point.
So they've already tried to simplify. Your point to all of this is they've already tried to simplify this to customers by putting it in one lump. Except for... Yep.
Which is kind of what you were suggesting, that those two would maybe go well together,
right,
but keep the environmental separate.
Yep, they're already doing it.
Looks like kind of what...
Plus the transmission they've got in there, too, which is fine.
Yeah.
Because I was concerned that the renewable thing being separate from the energy thing would send the right signal.
Right. Okay. Thank you for bringing that out, Jerry. That's interesting. Anything else?
No, I did maybe just to encapsulate what I think I said this already, but just to make sure from Jerry. So we're agreement here, but Jerry would need to staff around one more order to make to show the cost to the average customer, add that in the appropriate spot. And then the other one case in front of us that... We'll wait and see how that plays out if someone requests a formal hearing. If not, I could put forward to accept them by motion. If one of you wanted to talk about it, we could. If not, then we can just vote on all those the 22nd.
Sounds good to me. Rather than sending around copies of it with that addition, if you would just send an email, you can attach it maybe, but say, here's what I'm adding, and then we don't need five pages of...
Well, just add on to that. I mean,
do you know what the number is right now?
I don't, but I'll find out. Right now, it's just 7.573%.
Yeah.
And then I thought I understood you to say that you didn't know the date when the timeline for requesting a hearing.
It is June 21st.
But it is the 21st.
Right. It's before the June 22nd meeting. We double-checked that when Jerry and I met yesterday because Then we could have it set for a vote on the 22nd. If paperwork comes in on the 21st for a hearing, then we would remove that part of it, and we would still vote on the one that in front of us. But if no one requests a hearing, we could vote on one and accept the other motion.
Sounds like a good plan.
So Sarah just handed me a memo concerning the economic development rider costs. Jeez. And it says in here the reduction will occur through a rider and remain in effect until such time that the reduction can be rolled into base rates. And
was this part of the rate case? Or what was the trigger in 2011?
08-862, I think that was the rate case.
But?
And
I mean, that was the point. It wasn't in rates right away. When's the memo from?
I'm a little confused. This memo is dated today. 5/17/2016. Sarah's
Sarah?
Pretty quick.
Yeah. But anyway, if we had a rate case and you said don't take it out right away because you don't want to, you know.
It was a phase out.
Yeah. Then you wouldn't have it in base rates that you just did from your new rate case. You'd start reducing it.
In the memo. Oh.
Wouldn't there be...
Until you can put it in rates.
Or remove it from rates.
Yeah. Wouldn't you have set up a separate rate starting at that date and just have it
is
part of rates?
Rate case, could have. Though.
Okay.
You can do all these things all different ways.
I know I've had the wrong date on it, but this is it.
I think he had an auto date in it, and it is from the rate case. Sorry.
Oh. I see.
It's one of those things where you can put that thing to data for today.
Ah.
I hate that.
Sorry.
Thanks, Sarah.
It's dangerous. Okay.
Yeah, okay. So the question is, why is it still in the bill?
Because it has.
Yeah.
Has to explain it.
But the point is, we reduced it.
Yeah, and so it's staying on the bill this way as a reduction until such time as the base rates get changed. Yeah, 20 years.
All right. Thank you. Good job, Sarah. Is that it?
Nothing else, Madam Chair.
Okay. Randy, do you have anything more?
I do not.
Okay. I think that we've got the direction needed, and that concludes our work session on case number PU-16-14. Thank you.
We should set up another meeting for the budget. I've been wanting me to email you. Yeah.
Make sure we're all still doing the same email.
You can schedule, right, Lana?
Well, my problem is I left my phone at my mom's.
How is mom?
All right, she's really, she doesn't look very good. She did not, but she really bruised up her face.